2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I want your attention for just a few minutes this afternoon to talk about this idea of Christians being soldiers. We've covered this just a few minutes ago. We are stewards, we are disciples, and we are saints, but we are also soldiers. And what does that imply? Well, the word is found 36 times in Scripture. Now, obviously, not every time does it refer to Christians. Throughout the Old Testament, the word soldier is used, and obviously there were no Christians under the Old Testament, but the word is prevalent in Scripture. When you hear the word soldier, what do you think of? There, combat, perhaps a uniform, weapons, death. There are a lot of things that could go in to thinking of what a soldier is. What about training? You notice here in our Scripture reading, verse 2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's training, isn't it? We're to teach others who can teach others who can then teach others. There's four generations in that verse of our responsibility. So there are a lot of things that we could think of in terms of what is a soldier, what all is involved. Two words that I want to share with you that Scripture reveals to us about what it means for us as Christians to be soldiers. Because a lot of people in the world, and maybe sometimes this mentality can come into the church, into the Christian's mind, is, well, that Christians are always supposed to be nice. That's not wrong, but that's an extremely limited view of what it means to be a Christian. I didn't think Christians were supposed to... I mean, you think of soldier, you might think of aggression, a willingness to fight, a willingness to do things that maybe some others are not willing to do. There's more to being a Christian than just being as some people think of it, just a nice person, war. Take your Bibles real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. War is not, that's not a pretty word. You guys know just as well as I do, there are bad things that happen in war. There are atrocities, there's loss of life. So many things happen in war. Now, we're talking about a spiritual war. And Paul tells Timothy, you have to endure hardness. Listen to that. Hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There are going to be things that you have to face as a Christian that are not easy. For though we walk in the flesh, Paul writes here, we do not war according to the flesh. And then there's a parenthetical statement. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that is, they're not physical. We're not taking up arms, in other words, in the Christian war, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Here's our battlefront, all right? Here's our war field. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And, I don't have verse 6 up here, but look at verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. There's also punishment involved here if we don't obey the gospel. But part of our responsibility as Christians, we talked about this morning, to be saints, sanctified, holy, set apart, abstinent of certain things. We're in a fight though, people. We need to understand that. But the fight is for the minds of individuals. You look at verse 5, imaginations, things that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. We're in a war for people's minds. Are we going to mind this world, or are we going to mind the things of God? Our goal is to bring people into captivity to the obedience of Christ, verse 5. What about 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11? We read that this morning. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, that we have to war, that there are things that war against us. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. We're in a fight, and it's a day-to-day fight. It's a daily fight. Another thing that we think of is just that. Fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Well, why do we fight a good fight? The next phrase is, that you may lay hold on eternal life. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, the author there is talking about the persecution that they that these individuals had endured when they were first converted to Christ, but now what they were going through currently. And he says this, "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, that after you came to the light, as we say sometimes, you endured a great fight of affliction." You and I need to be clear on this. We need to understand this, that being a Christian is a war. It's a fight. Fight with minds, a fight with temptation, sin, etc. But let's go back to your scripture reading, and this is where we'll close. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want you to see this here, and I'm going to share with you a couple of different ideas. If you're looking at a King James Version, you will notice that verse 4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Okay, you're single-minded. It's the idea there. But then he says this, "that he may please him who hath chosen him." If you're looking at a New King James Version, you're going to see this word enlisted. And I kind of like that word. If you look it up in the dictionary, here's what it says about being enlisted. Now, this is an actual military term from today, not necessarily this Greek word, but enlisted personnel sign contracts binding them to a period of service in a particular occupational specialty. It is literally a contract between the enlistee and the federal government, and there are ramifications for violating the contract. I read that, and I started to think spiritually. When do you, in essence, sign a contract with God? Well, it's when you obey the gospel. It's when you're baptized into Jesus. You come into a covenant relationship. You make an agreement with God that you're going to serve Him a period of service in a particular occupational specialty. Well, okay, so what I've shared with you already, what is our particular occupational specialty? Bringing captive the minds of others to the obedience of Christ. That's our specialty. Evangelism, that's a single word that you might use. Sharing the gospel with others, that's our specialty. And it's a contract between the enlistee, us, and God, our government, let's say. And there are ramifications for violating that contract. Now look at verse 4 again here. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." You're single-minded in purpose. You understand what you've called, what you've been called to be and do. For what purpose? "That you may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You have signed up for a fight. You've signed up for a fight. And you guys have heard me say this so many times over the years about what our conception of Christianity is and what the world's conception often of Christianity is. We need to understand that we've signed up for a period of service and that there are ramifications for violating that signature, violating that agreement, that contract. If we obey the gospel, if we make that agreement with God, if we come into a relationship with Him and then we violate the terms of that contract, are there not ramifications? There are eternal ramifications. We need to think about that. We don't get entangled in the affairs of this life. We stay focused. We stay single-minded in our purpose. We want to live faithfully. That's the way Scripture says it. So that we may please Him who has chosen us. If you're a Christian, and this is one of the words that we're going to talk about too in this series of lessons, you are one of the chosen. You are elect, in fact, Scripture says. We'll find out what that means when we study it. But if you've never obeyed the gospel, well, then you've not signed any contract. You've never come into a relationship with God yet. Maybe you're here this afternoon and you need to do that, or you have questions about what all is involved. We will do whatever we can to help you. Maybe you're here this afternoon and you've signed that contract, you've come to that agreement with the Lord, you obeyed the gospel, but you violated the terms. There are ramifications. Peter would tell us that the latter end is worse than the beginning, wouldn't he? 2 Peter chapter 2. "It had been better for you to never have known the way of truth than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to you." If you need to come back, let's come back. If there's any need, let's take care of it right now as we stand and sing.